I've always wanted to ask this question. I don't think I ever have. What did you think I looked like by listening to the radio?
Interesting question. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I try to be honest, and I thought you had hair. and I thought you were younger.
Okay.
And I only know approximately how old you are because you briefly told me when you started the station.
Yeah.
Because I asked you. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, okay, that's pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you imagine that I have hair and I'm a lot younger than I am, so be it. I'm glad to hear that. My guest is Christy Bostwick. Dr. Bostwick has a pediatrician psychology.
How would pediatric psychology practice here in town.
What's the youngest you ever worked with?
Probably 6 months old.
What?
6 months old. Yeah.
How can you do that?
Well, I thankfully specialize in behavioral psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger the child, the more behavioral techniques you need to use. And so without getting into too much detail, so an example of a six-month-old, that would be about the time where some pediatricians would suggest that you start introducing food to them. And so, for example, if you put a spoonful of food in a six-month-old mouth and they spew it all over the kitchen, a very simple technique to stop them from doing that is to basically, one of the things that I do is teach timeout the appropriate way, and appropriate meaning I was taught by the man who thought of timeout. And so a timeout is simply timeout from positive attention. And so it's simply turning your head away when they blow food all over you, wait until they calm down, and then turn back to them and offer them food in a happy manner. And it teaches them when they blow food, they don't get any attention. And when you turn back to them and they are calm and they eat the food, then they get food. And so it's very simple behavioral techniques.
Yeah, you can see that on the wildlife shows.
Absolutely. Yes, I've taught several places, and one of them was Rockhurst University in Kansas City. And my students used to tease me and say, "Your kids sound like dogs." Well, it's some of the same techniques, and not in a negative way.
And when you do watch those wildlife shows, let's say it's a bear, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the mother, when they're tired of their behavior, ignores them, and then maybe gives them a little warning.
That's right.
And they just kind of go, I mean, I'm not suggesting that you bite the baby.
Right. But yes, so, same principles.
Okay. Do you deal at all with mental illness?
Well, again, mental illness is a subjective term, in my opinion. So if you have a child, for example, I've seen children who were out of control at school. And when I saw them, it was expected I would diagnose something like autism or a pretty serious behavioral condition. And when I saw them, they actually ended up being highly gifted. And so I don't think highly giftedness is a mental disorder. And so once we got them tested for giftedness and in the appropriate learning environment, they no longer looked like they had behavior disorders.
Are we talking about kids that get bored because they're so far advanced sometimes in their thinking?
If you can imagine, if you can read at a collegiate level and you're in second grade, surrounded by typical second graders, that must be pretty frustrating. I wouldn't know. I was not one of those children, but it must be pretty frustrating.
Okay. We're going to take a break for the news, and then we'll come back and find out who are you and where are you from, all right?
Okay.
Christy Bostwick, Dr. Bostwick, is in studio right now. We'll be back right after the news on your radio station. This is KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, 50 years in September, and, of course, the 195.1 FM.
New details in the Russia probe. I'm John Trout. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein told Special Counsel Robert Mueller in a classified memo last August that he should investigate allegations that former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort was colluding with Russian government officials. Correspondent Shimon Prokopez.
The big piece of info here is that there's an active collusion investigation relating to Paul Manafort. But it also shows that the scope, as it relates to Paul Manafort, did go beyond Russia.
In that ongoing investigation, a lawyer out of the UK, Alexander van der Swan, will be sentenced today.
He's facing 0 to 6 months in prison, and right now we expect probably closer to zero, time in prison, despite the fact that he is now admitting to lying and to conspiracy charges in the special counsel investigation.
Correspondent Evan Perez. Jury selection in the Bill Cosby sexual assault case continues. Judge Stephen O'Neill ruled today that the jury can hear details about a settlement that Cosby reached with an accuser. Cosby's defense has laid out their plan to portray the accuser as a greedy liar who framed the comedian to get rich. The walkout continues for Oklahoma teachers. Educators in Kentucky are back in the classroom today after yesterday's protest. Kentucky Education Association President Stephanie Winkler.
Overall, we feel like this budget does keep the promise to fully fund our pensions, and we are just hopeful that the governor signs this budget and keeps his promise.
At the New York Stock Exchange, correspondent Allison Kosick is on the trading floor, where President Trump is being blamed for a big drop in the market.
His attacks on Twitter against Amazon really hitting the tech sector hard. You look at Amazon shares, they fell another 5% yesterday, and throughout the past several days.
The Dow is currently up 100 points. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Hey, great song by the Beatles on the Wayne Eddy Affair. That's actually Paul McCartney with the Beatles and his dad. Paul's dad plays the clarinet on that tune. We are live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota on this blistery day. It's still snowing. I have a friend that texting me wanting to know how much snow we're getting here because he likes to shovel snow. But more important than that, I have in studio a woman by the name of Christy Bostwick. Dr. Bostwick is a pediatrician.
Pediatric
psychologist. Mm-hmm. All right. And I asked you just before the break about do you diagnose mental illnesses? Is that a psychiatrist's job, or do you work in tandem with the psychiatrist, or can you figure out what's bothering people?
The honest answer to that is a lot of times we only need to diagnose so that the insurance companies know what we're doing. I do not take insurance here in Northfield, and so I do diagnose, absolutely, I'm qualified to diagnose, and so do psychiatrists, but it's just not as important to have a diagnosis, and I tend to be pretty wishy-washy, I realize, about mental disorders and diagnosing and that kind of thing, because I don't believe I just believe we're individuals, and so I think that problems arise, and we address the problems that as they come up, and that most of us are pretty healthy individuals, especially if we have someone who will listen to us.
Now, with all your studies and your experience now as a practicing psychologist, I'm going to throw out some terminology, if I can remember them. I already did the pathological liar thing. What do you call somebody that has no feelings? What is that?
Well, some people would say narcissistic, okay. Or antisocial personality disorder, or something like that.
Narcissistic would be feeling for yourself only, wouldn't it?
Right, yeah. But they don't have feelings for others usually. And so, or antisocial personality disorder is another one that's been popularized in movies and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And like PTSD and that
PTSD,
stuff.
Absolutely. They usually, when you have PTSD, you can get PTSD from many, many things, and children get it as well, from the death of a pet, moving. Many different things. And so PTSD isn't simply an adult disorder. It can be very serious in children as well.
Well, what other, I'm trying to come up with names, but
yeah.
And it'd be nice to have somebody professional tell me exactly. Paranoia schizophrenic.
Yeah.
What's that?
Paranoid schizophrenic is rare. And it would be somebody who, I think of schizophrenia more as a medical disorder rather than a psychiatric disorder. It usually needs continuous medical treatment and hospitalization in and out. And so someone who has paranoid schizophrenia has disorganized thoughts, but usually those disorganized thoughts are paranoid, that somebody is watching them. Usually it's the government or something like that. I don't ever see any, so things like paranoid schizophrenia, antisocial personality disorder, any of the personality disorders really don't appear until after the age of 18. And so I don't work necessarily with those sure. kinds of disorders, but certainly am aware of them because I also work with parents who may have difficulty with any of those things. Or
how about bipolar?
I am not a big believer in bipolar in children. A lot of people would disagree with me, and so that's just my opinion. I tend to think that it's more of a temperament issue that's associated with attention deficit disorder rather than bipolar disorder, because a lot of times kids can be up and down five times a day, and that does not tend to represent an accurate bipolar disorder. It tends to be more in the ADHD kinds of categories.
What would be the difference?
Bipolar disorder traditionally has been where you have long periods of depression smattered with short periods of manic behavior, which would be staying up, not being able to sleep for days at a time, spending a lot of money, changing your appearance. In children, it can be irritability. It can look quite different. And so sometimes in adults, when you have bipolar disorder, you don't necessarily have many manic episodes, they're called. And so some people only have one manic episode their entire life, but that still represents bipolar disorder. And so in society, we've tend to have now moved toward this idea of rapid cycling in bipolar, and that used to be considered something that was quite rare. And rapid cycling would be when you change between depression and mania quite rapidly. And so rapid means traditionally maybe a week or two of mania with depression following that, and then cycling back into the mania for a week or two. That would traditionally has been considered a rapid cycle. I think now people tend to think that you can rapid cycle within a day five times, and I don't believe that's bipolar disorder. I believe that's people who have an attention deficit hyperactivity disorder temperament, is how I think of it, can be emotionally impulsive, and so something can set them off so they can be very calm at one moment, and the next moment they're at level 10, because they're emotionally impulsive.
All right. When you practice and you don't accept insurance, mm-hmm. Isn't that tough on a business? I mean, I'm in business, you're in business.
Yes.
The people across the street are in business.
Yes.
And part of the advantage of being in business with an insurance provider is that they sometimes are, well, a good source of income.
Yes.
So you choose not to use insurance?
Well, I had a full-time insurance person when I was practicing in Kansas City, and that's all they did was negotiate insurance contracts for me and make sure that I was compliant with my paperwork. And I don't have the resources to do that at this point. And so how I've chosen to practice, and there usually still is a decent copay, especially with mental health, when you go to an insurance provider. So I've tried to keep my fees as low as I possibly can and provide excellent service. I specialize in short-term care, and so I don't expect you to come every week for the next year. And so that has been helpful in starting my business and in getting it across that this won't be forever. It's a short-term payment commitment. You don't have contracts or anything like that. I also qualify for HSA, health savings account monies. And so if you have an insurance plan that has an HSA, I qualify. You could pay me out of the HSA, and that's helpful to a lot of families.
Okay, Dr. Christy Bostwick is my guest here this morning. How did she end up in Northfield? You mentioned Kansas City. Did you say Kansas City? Mm-hmm. And where were you born and raised?
I was born here in South Dakota and grew up.
You know, it sounded like you said
Huron.
Yeah. Okay.
Huron, South Dakota. Huron, South Dakota. And I think I moved the day they took me out of the hospital to Corsica, South Dakota. My dad was a small town agricultural banker growing up. And so we moved around quite a bit in South Dakota and Nebraska for his job. And when it came time for me to go to college, a guidance counselor in Nebraska suggested St. Olaf College.
Oh.
And so we came up to Minnesota. My parents were going to be moving back to their hometown outside of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And we looked at Gustavus Adolphus, and we looked at St. Olaf, and we looked at St. Cloud State. And I applied only to St. Olaf and got into St. Olaf, and so I was here for 4 years at the time.
Okay, now Corsica, South Dakota, where is that?
Corsica, South Dakota is in the middle of South Dakota. It is 40 miles south of Mitchell. And so
you have to get off the freeway to
get
down
off
there.
Of 90. Yes, yeah. I told my kids that if we wanted a McDonald's hamburger, we had to drive 40 miles. It's really in the middle of nowhere. It's pheasant country. A lot of people would come down and hunt pheasants in Corsica.
So that's where you went to high school?
That's where I moved when I was 10. And so I went to high school in Hershey, Nebraska.
Hershey, Nebraska.
Hershey, Nebraska. 680 people.
Okay.
I had 35 people in my graduating class.
And what did your dad do that then?
He was an agricultural banker.
Okay. Did he help banks?
Or
did he start up banks?
Farmers.
Or own them,
or? He helped farmers, which was really difficult in the 80s, as you may remember.
Yeah.
And so.
You don't remember.
I definitely remember that. I was in high school at the time, so my dad was foreclosing on some of the kids in my school. And again, I only had 35 people in my class foreclosing on their farms. And it was just really a difficult situation.
Oh, I remember that Carter administration,
yes.
79-80.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a bad time around here, too, and banks were suffering as well as a lot of farmers. And in our situation here, that I recall in the Northfield, Dakota County, Rice County, is that bankers were soliciting loans by saying your property is now tripled in value, so you can put up your property to get that $200,000 combine now. We've got the money. And then it hit the fan, and then all of that stuff that your dad was doing happened.
Right. Well, and I remember growing up being afraid because they were taking children of bankers and holding them for ransom.
What?
They were. And I remember being afraid of that probably, mid-70s. probably about that time.
Well,
where
tell us all you know about that.
That's all I know.
They were taking bankers' children and holding them for ransom because of the crazy interest rates and repos and all that.
Well, I think it was simply they thought the banks had money and bankers had money. And so they were holding, I don't know if it was something that my dad told me that was happening. I don't know why you would do that to your kid, but he seemed afraid and warned me. But again, we were out in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota. I don't know who would travel out to the middle of South Dakota to find me, but I remember being afraid of that.
Do you have siblings?
I have a younger brother and I had an older brother.
What was your older brother's name?
Tim.
Tim, how much older was he than you?
He was 3 years older.
Okay. And then your younger brother is?
Steve.
Steve.
And he's 3 years younger.
Oh,
so I'm a classic middle child.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So how long has Steve not been around?
Tim has not been around. When I was entering my sophomore year at St. Olaf, he died. And so,
sad.
Yeah. I tell people all the time that I wish that I hadn't had to go through everything that I counsel people for now, but I've gone through most of it. And so, it was tough to lose him.
Was your mom a stay-at-home mom, or did she
Until we moved to Nebraska, so I was probably about the same age as my kids, about 12, when she went back to work.
Now, when you tell people you're from Hershey and then add Nebraska on it, do you see the disappointment in their faces?
Yes. Hershey, Pennsylvania would be much more.
Have you ever been there?
I have not been to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
The thing that I remember, Pennsylvania, by the way, is a beautiful state.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I took a trip out east by car. And we went through Hershey, and their lamps, their street lights are shaped like Hershey Kisses.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it smells good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Malt-O-Meal smells good when they're making chocolate Malt-O-Meal.
That's right.
My guest this morning is a woman by the name of Christy Bostwick, Dr. Bostwick. When did you open your practice in Northfield?
I started probably September 1st is what I would say was my start date. I set up my office all summer and did a lot of pounding of the pavement last summer, going out and meeting people and introducing myself, so that people need to know who they're referring to. Somebody who just fly-by-nights through town is not somebody that you want to refer. So they need to be confident in their referral. And I always feel like I'm working as hard for the person who referred someone to me as I am for the person I'm working with. And so,
you know, I was just thinking when KYMN Radio started in 1968, it was very tangible. You know, although we were sold out before we went on the air, but it was a radio station, and we went out and literally knocked on doors and got our contacts with the fire department, police department, city hall, hospital, and all that, made ourselves known and carried a high profile on promotion. But how does a young lady like yourself, that's only known Northfield through her college education, drum up business?
Well, that's a good question. My first instinct was to go to the pediatricians at Northfield Hospital, and because that's who I'm used to working with. I'm used to working down the hall within the same office of a pediatrician, and so they were very receptive to me. They've been very generous to me. I think that we have the best pediatricians that I've ever worked with here in Northfield. We're very lucky to have great pediatricians. So that's where I started. And then I went out and to churches, to St. Dominic's, to Montessori, Northfield Montessori. I went to where they take care of children so that they have a resource to refer parents to.
Is there a lot of competition in Northfield? I'm not familiar. I think I know of one psychologist in town.
Well, there are a lot of therapists in town, and I think that we're all different in what we do. I believe I may be wrong, but I believe that I'm the only PhD level person in town who specializes in children. And so I think that I've met several of the – I've also gone out and introduced myself to retiring and current therapists in town. Just I think it works best when we all know each other and get along. And so I never see it as a competition. I see it as a resource. Some people – my style is not their style, and so they would prefer to go see somebody else. And I think that that's the great thing about Northfield is that we have a lot of resources right here in town where people don't have to travel up to the cities.
I don't know if I should say this. In radio, they say, if you think you should or shouldn't, you shouldn't because you shouldn't. But I'm going to ask you. You seem kind of vulnerable. I mean, you're kind of relaxed and laid back. Of course, you're in a radio studio with a strange guy sitting here. But you're just very, maybe I should think of a better word. What would be a better word?
Tense?
No, you're not tense. Oh, you're very
okay,
relaxed.
Very relaxed.
Confident, but I you're just, it'd be easy to con you.
Con me. Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting that you say that. And that is interesting that you say that because, ironically, women in healthcare have been found to be the most easily people to be emotionally abused because we tend to reach out to others and want to help and fix and take care. And so I don't know if you're picking up on that, but I do find that that my temperament, for whatever reason, is helpful when I work with kids. They tend to open up to me and tend to be relaxed and feel like I'm for them instead of against them when I start working with them. So I don't know if that's what you're picking up. Or
well, I was watching your eyes as you spoke, and I could feel that confidence coming in it when you were making a point there. So, and just, I'm probably known for, you know, Wayne, why did you ask that question or whatever? But it's just what pops into my head.
Well, and you had asked about ego earlier, and I feel like if you're not confident in what you do, then you maybe shouldn't be doing it. And so they talk about years adding wisdom, and I feel like I've had so many opportunities to learn from the families that I've seen and the kids that I've seen that I do feel very comfortable with the knowledge that I've gained from them.
Speaking about comfortable folks, the lady that is seated in front of me, and Dr. Christy Bostwick, was on, well, you look comfortable. You're on the way to the Y.
That's right.
I am so proud of you to stop by and allow me to introduce you to our community.
Thank you.
I think that's terrific. And in a very humble way, you know. Not like, hey, here I am. Let's, you know. So that's good. Now, one of the things that I like to know is when you were going to high school in Hershey, Nebraska, what were your interests there? Were you into music, into reading, into languages, into athletics, all of the above?
Most of the above. When you have a class of 35, I don't know what that makes the entire high school, but not many.
140.
Yeah. When you have a high school of 140 people, you have to do everything to have all of the clubs and all of that. So I was in marching band and...
what instrument?
I played the flute. Okay. And when I came to St. Olaf, maybe that's some of what you're talking about too, is I'm naive enough to think that why not? Why can't I do it? And so I remember coming to St. Olaf and saying, I'd kind of like to continue playing the flute. And somebody looked at me and said, well, they said, what instrument do you play? And I said, the flute. And they said, you and 5,000 other people. And so I never tried, but I wasn't good enough in music for St. Olaf. It's a level above me. I have a daughter there now, and she is a musician. She's a composer, and she's a vocal performance major. And so she got the music gene. I do not have it. And so when I was in high school, though, I loved volleyball. That was my favorite sport. I am a non-contact sport kind of person. And then I played basketball and
are you tall? I mean,
I'm 5'6", so no.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
No. And so
people might think, what a dumb question to ask.
No.
But I was seated when you came in and sat down, so I didn't, you know.
Yes, no, I'm 5'6",
but
so
you're
I'm
in good
tall.
Shape.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I try. I think that's part of the, I preach all the time to my kids that I see in my clinic, the big three, and that is nutrition, sleep, and exercise. Those are the three keys to keeping yourself healthy throughout life. And usually I find that one of those is off if somebody's not feeling well.
Yeah, sounds familiar. 28 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, our guest this morning on KYMN Radio is Dr. Christy Mostwick. We'll be back with her in just a moment, but we do have to take a break. It is 10:26:45.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living, conveniently located in downtown Northfield, has got a big case of spring fever. Our tenants embrace life to the fullest, and one way of doing that is cheering on the Minnesota Twins. Sure, we've got beautiful apartments, great food, and all the supportive services needed, but another thing we get really excited about is baseball. To catch up on the latest Twins news and get a tour, call me, Kathy Olson, at 507-650-0141.
We're back live and in color. Hello, everybody. It's still snowing for those of you that may be tuned in what is it called in? Tuned in, I think. Anyhow, you can listen to Kim Radio anywhere in the world. If you got a smartphone or if you have a smartphone or a computer, you can go to kymnradio.net and listen live to our broadcast and know what the weather's like at home. It is blowing and snowing, and our Dr. Christy Bostwick is in studio, and she specializes in children. She's a
pediatric
psychologist. Yeah, have you got me figured out yet?
Halfway.
All right. when you say you work with children, you know, what is the age range?
0 to 18, and then. So when I was in Kansas City, I had a practice for 7 years. And so the wonderful thing about that was that I helped raise many, many kids because they were in their I was in their pediatrician's office. And so I have several kids who have gone into psychology and have said it was because of our work together, which was nice. And then I have a couple of, I have one, she must be 22 now, that I saw from when she was a freshman in high school, where she'll let me know, okay, I got into this law school, I didn't get into this law school. And I've actually written a letter for her. She had dyslexia, and we really didn't diagnose it at the time because she just managed it. And so then I went back and wrote a letter that she had anxiety associated with dyslexia, and it did help her get some extra time on her test to get into law school.
You know, for a person like myself, you wonder why don't people figure dyslexia out almost right away when you're actually pointing at words and
yeah. Dyslexia is one of my passions. It runs through my family like water. It tends to be genetic, and smart people hide it. And so the smarter you are, the more people do not know that you have dyslexia. And so it tends to be something that is difficult to detect at times because the child is actually trying to hide it. And so it's not always just about words being turned around or backwards like people associate with dyslexia.
Yeah.
Often it is difficulty with spelling and difficulty with math facts. And so they kind of all go together. Sometimes it's difficulty getting the written word from your head onto the page. And so there's a lot of different facets to dyslexia that are unknown to most people. 1 in 5 people has dyslexia.
Well, wouldn't that mean that they would not be able to master a foreign language?
Language is difficult for people who have dyslexia, absolutely.
And I often wondered that when kids are what in the first, second grade and they're learning to read and they watching the engine that could or whatever that mm-hmm. story is, mm-hmm. that a person that's teaching that might be able to tell almost immediately that the kid doesn't understand words and letters. What are they reading out as T-O-U or something like that?
Well, and it's interesting because my brother has dyslexia significantly and was held back in third grade.
Was this Stephen?
This is Steve, uh-huh. Okay. And so my son, I thought he was reading at 1 year of age. He talked very, very early. I thought he was reading at 1 year of age. He actually had the book memorized, many, many of the little children's books memorized. And so when he was struggling in school in kindergarten and first grade with the sight words, they call them, so simple words, I started to think, okay, I think this might be dyslexia, but the school did not think it was dyslexia because he cognitively or intellectually was so high in that direction. And so they really kept kind of telling me, no, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. And that's exactly what it was.
So you were diagnosing early in life on your own children.
Oh, yes. And they have diagnosed since they were little children.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad. But yes, I have always watched my children with a different eye, having been a psychologist as they were growing.
How many children do you have?
I have one son. His name is Nash, and he's 21. And I have a
21.
Daughter. He's
wow.
21.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And my daughter is Alden, as she's known at St. Olaf. And she
Alden?
Alden, A-L-D-E-N. And I call her Allie. People think I have two daughters, but I only have one. She's 19.
Okay. So when you were going growing up in Hershey, Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
and you were involved in, were you the class president?
I was vice president.
Vice president.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. You don't have to put all those reunions together.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what year did you graduate?
Oh, boy. From high school, 1986.
1986?
Yes.
I was playing the music of 1986 yesterday.
Yes.
Did you recognize him?
Yes, I did.
I can't picture you dancing to Walk Like an Egyptian, though.
No. I'm not much of a dancer,
okay.
Honestly.
But you got to do all of these wonderful activities outside of that. Were you in, like, 4-H? Did they have that?
Oh, yes. I have my 10-year pin.
Were you an ambassador?
I was not an ambassador. I showed cattle, which was very funny to my brothers and my dad because they usually ended up dragging me around. I showed sheep. I showed horses for a while. I sewed. I made cookies 1 year, crafts. Oh, yes. 4-H was a large part of my life.
And it's a wonderful program.
Very much so.
I didn't even know what it was until I moved to Northfield and covered the Rice County Fair and looked at all those great things these kids were doing. It is a marvelous program. So when you were playing volleyball, did they rotate positions? And, you know, were you old school.
Okay. We were old school. I was the setter, and I was a good server. And so, yes, I was most valuable player my senior year, which is what I was really proud of, because basketball, it was kind of the opposite, where I was the one running around the court saying, oh, did I hurt you? I'm sorry. And that really doesn't work very well with basketball.
Well, I always like to ask people that have been involved in athletics, what's that one volleyball game that you remember that you won because you did something or assisted somebody? There's one play or one game that you'll never forget.
You know, my best friend from high school, Chris, remembers every single one of those games. And I must just not have been as invested. I just don't remember those games. I remember so many details about high school, but that's not one of them.
How about
I'm so
basketball?
Sorry. I only remember the district game where I was sitting on the bench, thankfully, and she remembers it as man, we didn't make it. We were so close to making it. I remember sitting on the bench thinking, please don't make it. Please don't make it. As I just really did not like basketball. I love watching basketball. My son is a beautiful basketball player. He's 6'4" and very good basketball player. And I loved watching. I watched the game last night. I love basketball.
I don't.
Okay.
Well, here's the deal. I marvel at they had one on a special on this guy Isaiah Thomas, not the older Isaiah Thomas, but the one that's still active, and 5'9", and he played for Boston at one time, but anyhow, it just amazes me how athletic basketball players are. But I don't like to go to games because generally they're close. And it's too nerve-wracking. They run down the court and they score. Oh, darn it. You run down the score. Oh, we scored. Great. Oh, they scored. Oh, they. Yeah. It's just too exciting.
It is.
I didn't even watch a game last night. And it was a blowout.
It was a blowout, yes.
From what I wanted to see Loyola get in there just because sister, whatever her last name is, the nun.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, and two kids from my son's days of playing are on that Loyola team.
Really?
Clayton Custer, my son played against in high school. And so to see him go on and do so well is really great.
Well, that is great. Mm-hmm. So how did you hear about St. Olaf out there in Nowheresville, Hershey, Nebraska?
I still wonder the same thing. I had an academic advisor. I don't even know if Hershey had an academic advisor before or since. We just did not have a lot of resources, and I had an academic advisor where they knew my parents were moving back to Sioux Falls, and they suggested I go look at St. Olaf. And as soon as I drove up the hill, it was a day a lot like today, but it was in the fall. It was snowing lightly like this, and I just fell in love the minute I was on that campus.
Did you come in on Highway 9 from 35?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, right up the hill, right by Itterbow and Kittlesby, and yeah.
What year did you get out of college?
1990. And then I went right into graduate school at KU. Mm-hmm. I got into a PhD.
Kansas University.
Yes, and
Kentucky.
So they were in the Final Four as well this year, but I've kind of become disenchanted with their basketball team. But yes, I got into the PhD program. I credit St. Olaf for that, where it has such a great reputation, and so went right through my PhD program. And I think by the time I was 26, I was out with a master's and a PhD.
Wow.
And so then I went to Children's Mercy and trained with a really great pediatric psychologist, Edward Christofferson, and he really taught me everything I know.
Do you remember any of your professors up at St. Olaf?
Oh, I still see them. I love it.
Name some.
Bruce Roberts.
Okay.
Howard Thorsheim.
All right.
Mary Ellen Ross was my mentor, one of my mentors, who I sadly miss very much. I feel her spirit here. I would sit in class at St. Olaf with Mary Ellen, and she practiced with children here in Northfield and taught at St. Olaf, and I would think that's what I want to do. And ironically, it came full circle, and I was able to be here. And Dana Gross is also still at St. Olaf. She was also one of my mentors. She was right out of graduate school and was just such a great example of being young and smart and confident and capable. And so, absolutely, I remember all of my professors at St. Olaf.
Well, you know, we have a saying, I don't know if it still goes on like this, back when I first came to town, there were the townies and the gownies. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm a townie.
Uh-huh.
And what was your impression of Northfield? You know, they're so independent. Both Carleton and St. Olaf mm-hmm. are independent on their campus nowadays. But back in the day, there was a lot of shopping and visiting and movies and stuff in Northfield. So as a freshman, you loved the campus as you came in before you got to town. When did you first discover the Multimeal plant in downtown Northfield?
Well, when I was a junior, I got restless doing work study on campus. And so I came down and worked, interviewed at the Rare Pair with Jim and Deb Bonhoff. And she gave me a job. And so I worked at the Rare Pair. I did a Target commercial when I was working for the Rare Pair. You saw me for one split second in a long coat.
What was that about?
They came into town and offered us $300 to walk across the bridge, across the river. And it was for one of their Christmas commercials. And so we put on a Rare Pair long coat and walked across the bridge. It was delightful money.
Yeah.
And so Deb was another mentor of mine. She again taught me what it was like to own your own business and to be a smart, confident woman in doing so. And so I still see them. Both. Jim mm-hmm. did my mm-hmm. sign. He made my sign okay. for my practice now.
It's 1 year, too.
Yes. And so so I see them often. I was texting Deb last night. So they're just wonderful people. And so I feel like I have these two sides. I have this towny side, wannabe towny side, I guess, and a gowny side as well. And so I've reconnected with a lot of both of those sides of towns.
How long have you been in town?
I got here May 15th was my first day in my office.
Last year?
Last May.
Wow.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And how did you end up coming back to Northfield?
Well, I went up to Minneapolis for a while. My personal life became very chaotic in a way that I just felt like I needed a change and needed to move out of Kansas City. I love Kansas City. I was there for 26 years and 7 years in my practice, and it was a grief process leaving my practice. I just really loved the families that I worked with and the professionals that I worked with, but it just came to needing to make a change. And so I was in Minneapolis at a corporate psychology place for a while, and it just was not I don't know if I'm too bossy, or I just am used to being on my own and giving good care to families. And so it did not work out. And so then I was left with this kind of regrouping time where I needed to really decide what I wanted to do. And originally, I had really wanted to move to Northfield and open up a private practice. And so I decided I was just going to take the plunge and come back to Northfield.
So the roots were through St. Olaf then?
Started with St. Olaf, but it was interesting because I lived with the same person and still am very good friends with my roommate from St. Olaf, who lives in Minneapolis. And when I told her, you may think this is crazy, but I think I'm going to move to Northfield and start a practice. And without even a blink of an eye, she said, you've always loved Northfield. And so I've always loved Northfield.
So the time between your graduation from St. Olaf mm-hmm. and May 15th of last year, mm-hmm. was you didn't spend time, maybe a reunion or something?
I would come to reunions, which yeah. I very much enjoyed. Yeah. And I would come to reunions, and that's about it. Well, and then my daughter started coming to music camp. Okay. And so that was a really great, I will never forget, she had never really been away from home. The first time she came was between her sophomore and junior year of high school. And I thought she would get homesick. And she called me at the end of the week and she said, Mom, I feel like this is home. I don't really need to even, I'm not even homesick. And I thought, okay. But so then I started coming up and bringing her to music camp. And so it just has always felt like home.
What part of the retail downtown businesses did you participate in regards to the Rubenstein, the former Rubenstein?
Yes.
And, you know, maybe back in those days, what year again did you graduate?
1990.
So maybe Perman's might have been around.
The candy store. What was the candy store?
The candy store on...
Cocoa Bean. The Cocoa Bean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember the Cocoa Bean. Yeah. There was a Scandinavian shop that I always loved to go into.
Right next in the Archer House?
I think so. I think it was... I can't remember exactly. Okay. The Rubenstein, of course. And I did not spend a lot of time out in Dundas, but a lot of my friends did.
Oh, come on.
I was really, I studied way too much in college. That's probably my biggest regret, is that I just studied too much. Okay. I thought the more majors and all of that I had, the better, and I really do regret that.
So you didn't get to go out to the L&M?
No, I should have had way more fun than I did. I was way too serious in college.
That's the go-to spot now for class reunions.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. I have spent more time at the Rubenstein, at the L&M, since I've started coming to reunions than I did in college.
So what was your very first experience with the defeat of Jesse James Days?
Oh, my freshman year, I remember coming to it, and when I watched it, it was so ironic or so surreal, I guess, this summer when it was happening, and I love my office with the windows facing Division Street, and I had them open, so be careful. I have them open most of the time. I would love to do a column or something called Through the Open Window, because I hear all these really amazing things through my windows. And all of a sudden, I heard the clippity-clop, clippity-clop of the horses coming down the street to do the reenactment. And I just, it was just amazing. It was wonderful. So looking out my window and seeing the reenactors through my window instead of as part of the play process, the theater process, was really, really great.
And that's why I asked you about ego, because that's one of the things that I've done in my lifetime that I really, really will never forget, because of the adrenaline and the history and the excitement and the injuries and the successes of being a raider.
Really?
For over 25 years on different horses, some very, very nice, well-behaved horses and some that were goofy.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to ask about it, because it's been going on now. I think this will be our 70th year, the Defeat of Jesse James Days celebration. Originally called Jesse James Days, but had to add the defeat on there.
I think when I was here, and that's interesting that you say that, because I did ask somebody, did they add that on, or did we just not use it back when I was in college?
No, it was added on a long time ago.
Okay.
When you were in college, it was still defeat. It might say, Defeat of Jesse James Days.
Right, you know. Right. Yes.
But we do that to honor Joseph Lee Haywood.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. Have you been to Historical Society?
Oh, yes. I love it there.
You do? Okay.
I do, yes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We're going to take a final break and come back and conclude our conversation with Dr. Christy Bostwick. She is a
pediatric psychologist.
A pediatric psychologist. Why do babies poop in their pants at age 2?
Are you asking me that?
No, that was going to be the question when I come back, but I got to...
You buy something because you got it for a low price, and soon you realize it's no bargain because you really needed something better. It happens all the time, especially with car insurance. But the good news is you can get the right coverage at the right price. Just talk to me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell. I'll help you get the right coverage at a price that's right for you. Call me at 645-4545 today.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Providing insurance and financial services.
Strides Heating and Cooling would like to remind you warmer weather is just around the corner, and you don't want to be caught with an air conditioner that is not ready to run. Just as a car needs a tune-up to operate efficiently, so does your air conditioner.
Hi, this is Andy from Strite 72 Degrees. Give us a call at 645-4040 and make sure your cooling system is ready to keep you comfortable all summer long. Come visit us at the Northfield Home and Garden Show this Saturday and see what we can do for you.
Hey, we're back already. That was a quick break. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. For those of you that are listening somewhere else, Mexico, the other day somebody called to say hello to, by way of a note passed along to me, to a guest I had, and they were listening in Brazil. And so for those of you that are not in town, not in the state, it is snowing, and it's a good snowfall. I think we're up to 2 inches by now. Christy Bostwick, Dr. Bostwick, what was the question? Oh, how can you teach a two-year-old to quit pooping in his pants?
Well, that would take me probably an hour.
But an hour?
To kind of go through how to successfully do that. But the bottom line is being positive. I think of it as positive toilet training. And so the reason, if you wait until after 28 months, which would be just a little bit over two, you are 80% more likely to be successful in toilet training a child. So not too early. Some people do and are successful, not too late. If it's a lot later, some people really struggle. If your child is four and you're still struggling with it, then it's probably a time to come in because there are usually other things going on. But so I have a blog where I talk about toilet training, among other things. It's called PhD4Kids.com. And I believe I have a whole post on there about toilet training. But really, the bottom line is development. It's just a developmental process. And some kids train earlier than others. And there's nothing wrong with a child that trains a little bit, toilet trains a little bit later.
Okay, here's the magic one. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Bedwetting.
Bedwetting is not considered a problem until the age of seven. It usually is genetic. You can usually blame one of your parents that they had trouble, whether they're willing to admit it or not. And so we usually don't make a huge deal about it until a child is seven. And before that, we try to stay positive with them. We try to work on using pull-ups and things like that. So there's not a lot of changing of bed clothes every time they have an accident. But that too, there's a process to really work through it's a brain-body connection is all it is. There's no psychological reason. It's just simply a brain-body connection that hasn't been established that I help parents and kids get established.
So you're saying that the brain isn't telling you that you have to empty your bladder. It just happens naturally.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. In the middle of the night, your brain isn't register that feeling of call to stool. It's not feeling that as, oh, this means I need to get up and go to the bathroom. A lot of people or kids will tell me that they're dreaming that they're on the toilet, and so then they have an accident, and they again, the brain just does not equate it with being asleep, and so it's breaking that and making a connection.
And that might happen to adults that over
absolutely
over imbibe.
Well, sure,
because
yeah,
their brain isn't saying, "Hey, get up and go."
Exactly.
So is that a major psychological problem for some people?
I don't consider it a major psychological problem. Some people will consider there is a condition called encopresis that kids will also soil themselves during the day. It's more medically based and developmentally based than psychologically based. And so I think a lot of psychologists will treat it as a symptom of a deeper problem. And I'm much more behaviorally based where, no, this is not a problem. This is just a medical issue that has gotten tangled up and we need to figure out how to solve it.
Before people like yourself came along, mm-hmm, I would imagine that there was a blame and punishment going on to bedwetters.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Did that, do you think that affected people the rest of their lives or just for until they outgrew it?
Yes. I remember working with a parent once who told me that her parents used to physically hold her on the toilet. And she remembered being traumatized by that. And so she was having a lot of difficulty toilet training her son because of that. If he had any objection, she would kind of get it all wrapped up with what happened to her and feel bad about it and didn't want to traumatize him. So absolutely.
So you got a lot of things you can work with in regards to children that may have a problem of sorts. In 30 seconds, what impact does divorce have on preteens, teenagers?
It depends on how the parents handle it. It can be a very difficult but productive time in a child's life, and it can be a very difficult and destructive time in a child's life. And the bottom line, whether we like to admit it or not, is how the parents handle it.
And that seems pretty logical. Mm-hmm. And you can dislike each other, but not the product you produced.
Absolutely.
That's 3.5 minutes before 11 o'clock. Dr. Christy Bostwick, my guest here on KYMN, a friend you can count on. What is Nash up to?
Nash is taking a semester off of college, and he just told me last weekend he's pretty sure he's going to go back. He is building cyber currency mines.
Cyber currency mines.
Yes. So have you heard of Bitcoin?
Yes, I have.
There's other cyber currencies like Bitcoin, and he is building the mines, which is basically a large computer system that is mining the coins.
All right. Are you into all that computer stuff?
I don't know the computer part of it, but I really enjoy thinking about the cyber currency side of it.
What is your thought about pornography available to kids 10 years old?
I think it's terrible, but I can't do anything about it. Okay. I think it's destructive.
And Alden is still, Allie, is at St. Olaf, just got off Easter break.
Yes.
And she's looking at what as a career? She's a musician.
Well, she is realistic, and so realizes, like I had to go on to graduate school for her to be able to support herself. She'll probably have to go on to graduate school, but has just such great instructors, of course, at St. Olaf. So would love to be in movie and video game composition or vocal performance, however that path leads her, we'll see.
You know, we had I'm going to forget the name, but they're still in town. But Monster Games was upstairs in this building, and this guy and his crew from St. Paul, that's always a plus for me. Mm-hmm. And he has this company, and they do virtual reality computer games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went up there and watched them, and I have no idea what they're doing. But it's very casual and dark. And and when I say dark, there's no overhead lighting. They got the screen there. And you go, what are they doing, all these ones and zeros and all that? Well, let's remind people here it is on Tuesday that my guest today was a walk-in. Now, you accept walk-ins, don't you?
Not usually, but okay. But you can I can get people in on short notice, and so they're able to contact me through my website, thenorthfieldtalkdoctor.com. I prefer phone so that I can schedule the appointment right there and then.
Are you in a phone book?
I do not believe. I don't know if I'm in the phone book. That's a good question. We don't use phone books.
What's your office telephone number?
It's 612-886-4940, and that can be found on my website as well, thenorthfieldtalkdoctor.com.
So, in other words, that's your cell phone number.
I schedule all my appointments and screen all of my – make sure that I'm going to – I don't want to have people come in where I'm going to waste their time or money. And so I want to make sure that I am the appropriate person for them and that I feel like I can make a difference.
Do you know about Rule 25?
I don't think so.
Well, look it up. Minnesota, okay? It is 11 o'clock, and Dr. Bostwick, I want to thank you very much for stopping in. I mean, I think that's good. I like that. That's confidence and also an opportunity to introduce yourself to a lot of people in the community. So let's mention it one more time. I am speaking with Dr. Christy Bostwick. She is a
pediatric psychologist.
And her telephone number is
612-886-4940.
And you can find her on the websites.
The NorthfieldTalkDoctor.com.
NorthfieldTalkDoctor?
The NorthfieldTalkDoctor.
All.com. All spelled out?
Yep.
Okay.
All written out.
.com. Mm-hmm. Okay.
.com. Mm-hmm.
The NorthfieldTalkDoctor.com.
Yes.
How'd you find that name?
I thank you for asking that. I used to, as I would walk the children back through the pediatric office, there were crying babies and things all over the place. And so as I was walking down the hall with many, many kids, they would look up at me and say, "Are you going to give me a shot?" And I would look down and say, "No, I'm the talk doctor." And so that's where it came from.
Cute. Well, thank you very much for stopping in.
Thank you.
All right. Maybe we can do it again.
I would love to.
All right. You're listening to The One, 95.1 FM, KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota.